This is Rabbi Nassan Elbron, Congregation Brothers of Israel, Long Branch, New Jersey, recording for Friday, December 4th, 2015. We will learn the seventh perek, the seventh chapter of Mishneh Shabbos. It contains only four Mishnayot. The first Mishnah deals with accidentally violating Shabbos, and then the punishment for that, namely, you have to bring a sin offering when you violate Shabbos unintentionally. There are two ways, of course, to do that. You can forget that it's Shabbos, right? Get up in the morning, boil your coffee, you simply forgot it was Shabbos, or you know it's Shabbos, but you forgot that you can't make the coffee. Right? Either you forget that it's Shabbos, or you forget that the activity is prohibited. Mishnah says, Klal Gadol Amru B'Shabbos. A great principle is said with regard to Shabbos. Kol HaShocheach Ikar Shabbos. Here you forgot that there is such a concept as Shabbos. You're not even aware that Shabbos exists. Ve'asa Malachos Harbe B'Shabbosos Harbe. You did many forbidden activities over multiple Shabboses. Eino Chayev Elachatas Achas. You're only liable for one sin offering. Because here it's not the individual activities that you've forgotten, it's the concept of Shabbos. One concept, one sin offering. Next, you're a little bit better, right? A little more educated. Hayodea Iker Shabbos. You know that the concept of Shabbos exists. You're just not sure when Shabbos is. Ve'asa malachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe. And then you did multiple forbidden activities over multiple Shabboses. Chayav al kol Shabbos v'Shabbos. Right? Then you're liable one sin offering per Shabbos. Because here you know that there's a concept of Shabbos. So for each Shabbos, no matter how many things you did, one sin offering, because you didn't know when that Shabbos was. Right? Even more educated. Better. Hayodea Shehu Shabbos. You know that it's Shabbos. Right? You know that Shabbos exists and you have a calendar and you know every 7 days here comes Shabbos. But you forgot and you kept violating, right? Unintentionally. V'asa malachos harbe b'shabbosos harbe. You had multiple, right, transgressions over multiple Shabboses. Chayav al kol av malacha o malacha. Then you're obligated, liable, for every single type of forbidden activity, right? Each category, we'll see in the next Mishnah, an Av Malacha, literally the father of work, right, is the category of prohibited activity. For each violation in separate category, you are obligated. Because here you knew it was Shabbos. You forgot it was prohibited for each forgotten prohibition, each unintentional transgression, you bring a chatas, you bring a sin offering. One qualification, says the Mishnah, ha'osem malachos harbe me'ein malacha achas. If you do multiple activities, but they're all subsumed under one category of prohibited work, eino chayav elachatas achas. Then you only bring one, right? It's one per category of prohibited work. The second Mishnah is the motherlode. It describes all the prohibited activities of Shabbos. From the Torah, all we know is that you may not do work. We have two specific examples, carrying and transferring fire. And then multiple times the Torah says, don't do work, right? Kom alacha lo sasu. And here the Mishnah comes to fill in, to explain exactly what's prohibited. And it gives us just the categories of prohibited work. There are many different ways to violate each category. The Mishnah will suffice, as will we today, with the categories. Avos melachos arba'im chasar achas. There are 40 minus 1, 39 prohibited categories of work. The first describes the process of, right, from planting to baking. Hazorea, planting. V'hachoresh is plowing. V'hakotzer, cutting down the, right, the harvest. V'hama'amer, making them into piles, bundling them. V'hadash, dash is threshing, where you push something hard against the kernels of wheat to separate the kernel from the chaff. V'hazora, you throw it up into the wind to separate. The heavy kernel comes out, and the chaff kind of goes elsewhere. It's a little bit lighter. V'haborer, you got to separate now the chaff from the wheat. Hatochen, you grind it. V'hamerake, then you sift the flour. V'halash, you knead it. V'haofe, then you bake it. Right? Those are each individual categories. The process is from planting to baking. Right, now we go from sheep shearing to creation of clothing. Hagozes es hatsemer. Right, in order to make clothing, you have to shear the sheep, literally cut the wool. Vehamalabno, which means to whiten it. Right, literally, that's our, you launder it. You got to wash it, make sure it's clean. Right, vehaminatzfo. Right, then you comb it out to make sure that you've gotten everything out. It's pure. Vehatsovo. Right, then you dye the wool to the proper color. Vehatove. Right, then you spin it into thread, if you will. After you've made your thread, you got to make the clothing. Right, you have to start weaving the clothing together. Vehamesach, which here is weaving, is actually when you weave clothing, there are vertical threads and horizontal threads, right? You set up on the loom your vertical threads, and then you weave the horizontal ones in and out and in and out. Weaving here, Mesach, refers to setting up the loom, to tying those vertical threads together, and then making two loops, which is Ha'oseh Shtei Batei Nirin, was actually you take threads and tie them in a way that you'd have a loop in the middle, which would allow you to lift an entire row of threads, makes it easier to push the horizontal threads through. I know that's not as detailed or specific as we probably should be. Anyone who's interested, email me. I will send you diagrams for exactly how this all works. Weaving is our next one, right? Oreg Shnei Chutin. You're actually now going to weave two threads horizontally through the vertical ones. Or you could Hapotzeya Shnei Chutin. You could separate two threads. Right? All of those are prohibited activities. Once you've done that, you got to tie it all together. That's Hakosher, tying a knot. V'hamatir, untying a knot. Right? Think shoelaces, interesting example. The Hatofer Shtei Tefiros, right, now we're onto our sewing machine off of the weaving loom. Tofer Shtei Tefiros is making two stitches. Hakorea Almanat Litvor Shtei Tefiros, if you rip apart like a hem to make room in order to sew two stitches, right, just we'll take a moment of background. Each of these activities is a constructive or productive activity. Destructive activity, while prohibited on Shabbos, is only prohibited rabbinically. And therefore, when you describe tearing, right? If I tear your clothing because I don't like you, that's a rabbinic prohibition. I shouldn't tear it. If I tear it on the seam or the hem or right, wherever we're tearing it, if I do it there in order to restitch it, that is korea al menat litvar. I tear in order to restitch to make it better. That is a constructive, productive activity. Okay, that is our process of, I guess, from beginning to end of making clothing. The third process the Mishnah describes is making leather. So first you are hatsad tzvi. You have to trap the animal. After you trap the animal, you got to kill it. Hashochto. Right, then you slaughter the animal. V'hamafshito. You got to skin the animal. V'hamolcho, right, melach is from salt, you salt it. After you salt it, v'hama'abed et oro, you further cure it. Right, you got to prepare the leather, make it soft. V'hamochko, right, limchok, you scrape it down, you smoothen it out. V'hamechatcho, then you cut it to size. Right, so that's from the animal to the preparation of the leather. Then we have a few stragglers. Hakotev shtei otios, right? You write two letters, not one, but two. V'hamochek almanat lichtov shtei otios. You erase in order to make room to write two letters. Just like tearing in order to stitch, it has to be productive. You are erasing, right? Take out your eraser and erasing in order to, right, correct and write more, or to fix those two letters. That is a constructive erasing. Habone vehasoser, building and destroying. That would follow the same rule, by the way. Right? Destroying a house, knocking it down, is rabbinically prohibited. Knocking down a house to rebuild is Torah prohibited. Hamechabe, extinguishing. Vehamaver, lighting a fire. Hamaka bepatish, literally means knocking with a hammer. It's finishing or completing an item on Shabbos. That's a hard one to define. Hamotzi mirishus l'rishus, carrying from one domain to another, public to private, or vice versa. Hare elu avos malachos arbaim chasar achas. There's your list, 40 minus 1, 39. Again, we didn't even begin to do that justice, but if we began, we'd be here forever. Those are your 39 prohibited activities. Mishnah 3, va'od klal acher amru. One more great rule, or at least a rule. Right, we talk about carrying. How much do you have to carry, and what do you carry to be liable? Right, we know by eating there is different amounts. We're very used to amounts. You go to the Seder, you get a board that tells you how many kazesim, how many olives worth to eat. What about carrying? So the Mishnah says, Kol ha-kasher la-hatsnia, u-matsnian kamohu, v'hotziu b'shabbos. If it is something which you generally would hold on to, right, literally hide or store, and people store in this amount, right? So you need two things. One is that it generally is done, and this is the amount, and people do it. And then you carry it out on Shabbos. Chayav alav chatas, you are liable for a sin offering if you unintentionally do this. V'chol she'enu kasher lahatznia, if it's not something people ever store, v'ein matznian kamahu, or people really just don't ever do it, nobody cares about this, v'hotzio b'Shabbos, and you took it out on Shabbos, you carried it, enu chayav ela hamatznio. Right. Then, only the person who is going to care about it and hide it, that person is liable. But everybody else, if I ended up carrying an item which you care about, but nobody else does, I would not be liable. What is that amount? So the fourth Mishnah gives us some very subjective, it seems. Right? We're used to very specific measurements and amounts. Here it's not by weight, but by how much you can stick into an animal's mouth. I guess if we were farmers, maybe this would... Right, maybe we'd relate a little bit more to it. Hamotzi tevin. Right, so if you're carrying straw, kimelo pi para, whatever would fit into the mouth of a cow. Eitza. Right, these are stalks. Kimelo pi gamal. Right, whatever would fit into the mouth of a camel. Right, amir, which is grain. Right, like me'amer from the Mishnah before. Kimelo pi tele, whatever you can stuff into a lamb's mouth. Asavim, grass, kimelo pi gedi, whatever you can stuff into a goat's mouth. Ale shum ve ale bitzalim, right, the leaves of garlic and onions. So if they are lachim, if they're wet, kigrogeres, right, then you are liable if the amount is of a dried fig. That was a very common item back then. Yuvashim, but if they're dry, so they too are kimelo pi gedi, like what you can stuff into the mouth of a goat. Ve'ein mitstarfim ze im ze. You can't combine them to make one. Right? If you have a little bit of straw and a little bit of grass, they don't combine for a viable amount, if that's even a word. Mipnei shelo shavu b'shiurehim. Right? Because their original shiurim, the amounts of which you'd be liable, are not equal. They don't combine, because we're, right, very hard to combine when the amounts are different. Hamotzi ochlim kigrogeres. Right, if a person takes out food, right, like a grogeres, which is that same dried fig, chayav. Then you're liable, right? Obligated. Umitstarfim zeim ze. All human food items do combine, right? If you have a little bit of apple and a little bit of orange, and it's enough to make a dried fig's worth, mipnei sheshavu b'shiurehim. Right, because all food is liable in the same amount that dried fig, any food fit for human consumption will add up to that one amount. Chutz miklipehem v'garinehem v'uktzehen v'surban or mursanan. Right, that is true for all food fit for human consumption, but the exception is peels, pits, stalks, bran, and coarse bran. Right, those, once they come out, are no longer considered food. They're more animal food. They then transfer to the top half of the Mishnah. They will not combine because they are not food. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chutz mi klipe adashim shemisbashlos imahen. Right, Rabbi Yehuda says, except as well, he's adding one more, the husks of lentils that have been boiled with the lentils. Those two don't combine to create food. That is right, conclusion of the seventh chapter of Mishnah Shabbos. Wish you everyone a wonderful Shabbos and look forward to joining you next week.